Welcome to the radio broadcast brought to you by the Brummett Church of Christ. We are located at 6694 Highway 26, Rock Oaks, Kentucky, about 7 miles south of Corbin. We invite you to join us for services. We meet at 10 a.m. Sunday for Bible study and at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. for worship services. We also meet for Bible study at 7 p.m. on Wednesday evening. For more information and sermons, check out our website at brummettchurchofchrist.org. Today's speaker is Dennis Hamilton. We invite you to take your Bible, study along with us. If you have any questions or comments about today's program, you may send them to Dennis Hamilton, P.O. Box 1066, Winnsburg, Kentucky, 40769, or email them to info@brummettchurchofchrist.org.
Hello, I am so glad that you have chosen to study along with us in another Bible study here at the Brummett Church of Christ. My name is Dennis Hamilton, and I'm always very thankful and so blessed to be able to present this lesson. And I pray that I present it in a way that pleases the Lord first and foremost, and a way that glorifies His name. But I also pray that it will touch your hearts in some way to, if you're a Christian, to keep you to be steadfast and stronger and remember the amazing things that the Lord has done for us and how that He sent His only Son to die on the cruel cross for our sins. But also remember how that He continues to bless us each and every day with the daily blessings, even the very air that we breathe in our lungs. We know that these are gifts from Him. But I want to talk about something else in our lesson today also, God's amazing grace. You know, we have a song, you know, I'm pretty sure most of the world is familiar with, Amazing Grace. And that song says so much, and that song is based upon what we read in God's Word. You know, Paul tells us about God's amazing grace. When you read over there in the book of Romans in chapter 5, starting at verse 12, and we'll read through verses 21. He says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, and so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abound, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." So this was the reason why Jesus Christ came into this world, so that we could receive justification, so that we could receive salvation. But until that, sin reigned. Now, we know that they lived under the Old Testament law there at one time, but with the death of Jesus Christ, you see, that was nailed to the cross. We no longer live under that law. We live under the law of Christ. We live under the law that is laid out for us in the New Testament book. And this is what we go by today. This is what we'll be judged by. And so there are so many important things to keep in mind when we think about God's amazing grace, how wonderful it is, and think about all the things that He has done for us. But, you know, we know that we receive the rain and the sunshine and all these other things, but the greatest gift given to mankind was salvation through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When you read with me over there in 2 Corinthians in chapter 5 and verse 21, it says, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." You see, that was the lamb that they sacrificed under the Old Testament law that we're no longer under. It was a type of what was to come with Jesus Christ. He was called at times the Lamb of God. John the Baptist acknowledged Him as the Lamb of God when he saw Him coming. And that lamb under the Old Testament law had to be without blemish. It had to be perfect. Jesus Christ was without blemish. Jesus Christ was perfect. He knew no sin, but He took upon Him our sin. He paid the price. He paid the sacrifice there on that cross that you and I should have suffered, because the wages of sin is death. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. So yes, keep that in mind. The wages of sin is death. So why would He do that? Because He loved us. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Such a wonderful gift. Did we do anything to deserve it? No. Is there something required on our part in order to receive that salvation? Yes, there is. And we'll look at that in just a moment here. But let's look a little bit further into God's grace. It was shown when we sinned. And an example of that is over there with David. David was a man after, you know, described as a man after God's own heart. But we do know that David did sin. He had sin in his life, just like you and I. The difference was he repented. Now we read about how that after he had committed adultery with another man's wife, Bathsheba, and how that he had caused that man to be killed in battle there to get him out of the way. Now this was an awful sin. And Nathan there came to him under the instructions of the Lord, because the Lord had sent him. When you look over there in 2 Samuel in chapter 12, the Lord sent Nathan to David to talk to him right there. And that today, you know, we have an opportunity to hear the gospel. You know, it talks to us. It points out the wrongs that are in our life. It points out the sin in our life. And we shouldn't be angry. We should be thankful. And we should repent. And be glad to repent, because we know that the Lord will forgive us if we do repent. And He knows us. He knows us well enough that we do have sin in our life. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Nathan went to David there, and he spoke to him in a parable. And he said that there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nursed up. And it grew up together with him and with his children, and it did eat of his own meat, drank of his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was to come. Now look at how David answered Nathan when he heard that, not realizing that this was he that he was talking to. In verses 5 through 6, it says, "And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, As the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing, and because he had no pity." But David right there was told by Nathan, "You are the man. You're the man. You're the one that's guilty of it." You know, but David's sins are covered there. He was justified by God's grace. In other words, when he repented there, know, he would tell the Lord, you know, I repented against you. I mean, I sinned against you, Lord. And he needed to acknowledge that sin. The same way we need to do today, acknowledge our sins and repent of them. Be sorry that we sinned against the Lord. You know, his covenant, look in Romans 6:4, actually, in verses 6 through 8. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputed righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord will not impute sin. So yes, it is a blessing, such a great blessing. You know, it goes beyond all the things we've received in this life, to be able to have forgiveness of sins. You know, the giving of Christ covered our sins. Romans chapter 3, 23 and 24 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And also in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. He took upon him the punishment that we deserved because he had no sin. And that amazing grace that we receive from God is a free gift. Grace is often defined as an unmerited favor. In other words, it wasn't earned. It's a free gift. Ephesians 2, verse 8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And we also know that we are justified freely by grace without a cause. Like we said there in Romans 3, 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It is God's gift to us. You see, Romans 6, 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through his eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So yes, grace came by Jesus Christ, the fullness of his grace. He has blessed us all, one blessing after another. We read over there in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, 16 and 17, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. That's a wonderful thing to know, isn't it? To how much God loved us, that he would do that for us right there. We read over there also in the Gospel of John in chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Who was that? Jesus Christ. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You know, it's impossible for God to lie. God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. None of these will ever lie to you. You think about that for a moment. You know, we have people in our lives that we're very close to, people that we depend on, people that we trust wholeheartedly. But at the same time, it is possible for them to lie to us. They may do it just to maybe save our feelings. But you know what? Jesus Christ, God the Son, God the Father, the Holy Spirit, never ever will lie to you. They will not say, oh, you're all right. You just live your life and God loves you anyway. No, God hates sin. Our sin is what separates us from God. That's why we must be obedient to the gospel. That's what he died for. And his amazing grace is enough. It's sufficient. It's lacking in nothing. Over there in 1 Timothy 1, verses 13 and 14, the Apostle Paul, look at what he said about himself there. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in belief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. But you know what? He had to be forgiven. He had to confess that. When he was on the road to Damascus, at that time he was named Saul. He was going about persecuting Christians. He was arresting them. He was having some killed. He was doing these many awful things, trying to stop the church, the growth of it, the Lord's church, the one that he purchased with his precious blood. And the Lord spoke to him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" You know, why did Jesus say you're persecuting him? Because he was persecuting his people, his children, those that were Christians, those that were followers. And as we all know, as you read through that chapter 9, he was struck blind. And God sent a man named Ananias to him to talk to him. And he went and spoke to him and said, "Saul, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins." He had to be baptized to wash away his sins. And he did it. And we know that he was a strong, faithful follower, one that did much work. All the epistle, most of the epistles that we read in the New Testament, written by Paul, who was formerly named Saul. So that right there, and even with all the things he had to endure, he endured beatings, he endured shipwreck, one thing after another, always in danger. But look at what read about over in 2 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10. He said, "For this cause I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." What was wrong? He had a thorn in the flesh. He says, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of God may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." The Lord told him, "What I have given you is sufficient enough." Whatever it was, whatever that thorn in the flesh was of Paul, you know, the Lord said, "My grace is sufficient for you. You can handle it." He will see others, even though you're going through all this and you're still being faithful, you're still proclaiming the word of God, you're still establishing congregations of the Lord's church. They will see that and say, "Well, this man is doing that in spite of all that." And that's what it is today. No matter what we have going on in our life, the main thing is, if we're a Christian, we need to keep working. We need to be a profitable servant. We read over there in the book of Matthew in chapter 25 about three different men who were given talents. Only one of those men there did nothing with his. The other two doubled theirs. What did the Lord say to that man? He told him he was an unprofitable servant, and he would be cast into outer darkness. The same thing will happen to us one day if we are not a Christian and not a profitable one either. You know, we have to bear fruit. There's work for us to do. Some claims that, well, we don't have to do nothing. Oh, yes, we do. There's much for us to do. You know, we read over here in the book of Ephesians, you know, that so many today in chapter 2 of Ephesians take out of context. When you read over there in chapter 2 of Ephesians, starting in verse 8, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." They stop right there. They'll say, "Well, look at verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast." No, you're not going to do enough good works to get yourself into heaven. No. But look at what we see in verse 10. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." You see, there is something for us to do. Now, it's by the grace of God that we have been given salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, who was that sacrifice for our sins. But it's something that we must do. There's something on our behalf. Yes, it's an indescribable gift that's been given to us. Paul noted over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." Indescribable. And it is. It's a gift that goes way beyond description, that a man would come down here and die for us, and we were sinners. And still he died on that cross. Paul noted over there in chapter 4 of Philippians in verse 13. Look at what he said. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You know, if we don't have Christ in our life, we don't have that strength. But we must have Christ in our life. Paul, you know, he noted that. Did he brag upon himself? No. Did he let his head swell up, as we call it today? No. He said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That's the source of his strength. That amazing grace also of God, it requires us to answer to it. Yes. You don't just sit there and do nothing. You know, it don't just get slapped on you. It's not just like a bucket of water thrown on you. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, Paul noted this. He said, for by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. In other words, it was used. He said, it wasn't for nothing. He says, but I labored more abundantly. Notice that. I labored. He worked more abundantly than they all the others there. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. He did works, but he still gave the Lord the credit, because that's the one we must give it to, because he's the one that did it for us. It was the grace of God in making Paul what he was, and an apostle of Christ, and Paul gave credit to God for the work that he did. Some believe that this refers to Paul being the instrument of grace, but, you know, look over there in Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. God's saving grace has appeared to all men, but yet not all will be saved. Why? Because they haven't accepted it. Matthew 7, 13 and 14 says, enter you in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many today are choosing that broad way. They're choosing that. What did he say? It leads to destruction. But look at what he says. He says, and many there be which go in thereat. Many are going and choosing that broad way. But in verse 14, it says, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Even with this amazing grace that God has bestowed upon mankind, there are still those who are not taking it advantage of it, that are not using that. They're not receiving that because they choose not to. So how do we get this amazing grace of God? How do we make use of it? How do we receive it? We are called into grace. First of all, Galatians 1, verse 6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that calls you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. You know, we must accept it. It's there. It's like a gift. If I walk up to you with a gift and say, here, this is a gift. There's no strings attached, or there's no money on your part to receive it, but you must reach out and take it. You see, you must receive it. You must do something with it. That's what God has done for us. And Paul here was noting to the Galatians there, he said, I'm amazed that you're so soon removed from this gospel here, and they had followed another gospel. He said, there's not another gospel. But yet they had followed after that gospel. And he warned them about that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1, he said, we then as workers together with him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Don't receive it in vain. After you have obeyed the gospel, there's something required on your part to do. We have to have good works. So you can't just sit back and say, well, once saved, always saved. No. The Lord requires something on our part. But we are called by the gospel to receive this grace. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 14 says, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is how we obtain that. When we answer that call of the gospel there. The apostles preached the gospel. What did they preach? They preached what Jesus Christ told them to preach. The Spirit led these men in their speaking, and they spoke what they were supposed to speak. Mark chapter 16:15-16, he said unto them, go you into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. He that believeth and is baptized will be saved. It is God's power to save, you see. It saved the Corinthians. It saved those of the Corinthians that were obeyed and remained faithful. It saved all the others there that obeyed and remained faithful. But we obey a form of it when we are baptized into Christ. That same gospel that many thousands obeyed on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 is the same gospel that works today. There's nothing that needs to be improved on it. You can't improve on perfection. God's word is perfect. Like I said, over there in Acts chapter 2, verses 36 through 38, when those men there were pricked in their heart, after they had heard the gospel preached right there, they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? There in verse 37. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You see, they heard the word of God, the gospel. They believed it. They repented of their sins, and they were baptized. The same thing Philip did with the eunuch that we read about in Acts chapter 8. And he made that confession, too. That's something we must do. Confess Jesus as the Son of God and be baptized. And then be faithful unto death. In Revelation chapter 2, in the last part of that verse 10, Christ told them over there that they must be faithful unto death, even if they died being a Christian. And we all die, we know that they were still to remain faithful. They wanted to receive that crown of life. I hope we went over a few things of interest to you. And as always, if you have any questions, you can write me at P.O. Box 1066, Williamsburg, Kentucky, 40769. My name is Dennis Hamilton. I'd be glad to answer any questions. But, you know, come and visit with us here. Come and be with us here and worship with us here at the Brummett Church of Christ. And we'll be glad to sit down with you and answer any questions you may have. And we'll use the Word of God. We'll use the Bible to answer those. It won't be our opinions. It won't be no one else's opinions. It'll be what God has instructed us in His holy and divine Word. And at this time, I hope you have a good day. Amen.